How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Jay King from MassLive.com, here today with Sam Jam Packard to discuss, as always, the Boston Celtics. They have finally won a couple of games, snapped out of a three-game losing skid, started to play a little defense. Kelly Olynyk's back. We've got, you know, they've taken advantage, to be fair, of the Knicks, who had Carmelo Anthony ejected, and the Pacers, who had Paul George out with a sprained ankle. Nonetheless, the Celtics are winning basketball games again. They are surviving without Jay Crowder and Al Horford, and that's a good thing. So, Sam, welcome on. But before I throw it to you, got to remind people, subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts, whether it's iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher. Subscribe to us, follow us. Give us a 5-star rating. Search for Locked On Celtics. That's how you find us. And, yeah, give us all that stuff. Now, back to the Celtics. Back to Sam. Sam, what have you taken from these past two games? Are they playing better defense, or is it just the competition?
I think it's going to be a little of both. Their effort is up. Kelly Olynyk has returned. That Washington game is going to, I'm going to give him a pass because it was first game back, but we've really seen Kelly Olynyk do a lot of good things, especially on the defensive end of the floor. I think he's a lot better than Tyler Zeller. And I would say
especially on both ends of the floor, he's better than Tyler Zeller.
In all facets of the game, he is a far better player than Tyler Zeller. So just the team's going to do better when Kelly Olynyk gets more minutes. He's a bona fide NBA role player. And I think just his return is just going to – obviously it's going to make the team better, and we've seen him play quite well. And if you listen to the Friday pod, I was hyped after just watching some positional defense gifts.
The Kelly Olynyk positional defense is real. He's a huge, huge difference maker. And after he was inserted into the starting lineup, things changed. You know, when you have him and Marcus Smart rather than – Tyler Zeller and Jaylen Brown, that's a huge upgrade at two positions. The Celtics are starting to look more like themselves. Against the Knicks, they forced 25 turnovers, which is the most they've forced in a game since 2012 when Kevin Garnett was still on the roster. I looked up the box score from that game. I'm not sure why I do these things, but they played the Dallas Mavericks. And the Mavericks were starting like O.J. Mayo and Derek Fisher in the backcourt.
Oh.
So that was just a weird, weird, weird Mavericks roster. And Dirk didn't play that game. If Dirk had played, there's no way they would have turned the ball over 27 times.
I completely forgot Derek Fisher was ever on the Mavericks.
I had completely wiped that out of my memory, too, until I looked at that box score. O.J. Mayo and Derek Fisher, the starting backcourt, coughing the ball up a lot of times. Anyway, back to the current Celtics, they are back to being a little pesky. You know, they gave up a lot of points in the first quarter against the Pacers. They didn't have a great second quarter against the Knicks. But six of the past eight quarters, they've been very good defensively. And I think a lot of it has been on the bench, too. I think the bench has played much better defense. We can talk about what James Young did against the Pacers later. James Young deserves to get some positive coverage for that. Shout out to James Young. But before we get to him, Terry Rozier, man. Terry Rozier, the last couple of games has been, I think, just a much different player, and especially, I think, a much different defender. He's been a lot sharper on that end, and they need him to be.
It feels like a lot of his game is based on just energy and effort and kind of aggressiveness, too, especially on the offensive end. It feels like when he's more aggressive and looking to get his shot, it tends to go in more. Maybe that's just a bias because when it goes in, it looks like he's trying harder. But on defense, I think it's kind of the same thing where it's just like he needs to be locked in and flying around and doing kind of all the pesky things. And sometimes, or not at least earlier in the season, it kind of looked like he was lost out there. So it's not surprising in the two wins, he starts playing a little bit better and giving kind of more effort. I just think all around, there's a huge trickle-down effect with Olynyk and Smart returning. It's just because there's less minutes for the kind of the worst players, but then it also means Terry Rozier is playing with more talented players, and you're getting like kind of less fully garbage lineups. It's just going to improve. It's going to improve the level of play of the entire team.
You can't have those fully garbage lineups. I think, and especially the last couple of games, Smart and Olynyk have played with the bench fairly often, and the Smart Olynyk bench lineups have been awesome, and that's a huge deal, because ultimately when Al Horford and Jay Crowder return, those guys are going to be on the bench, and if bench lineups with those two guys are dynamite, then the bench is going to be dynamite. And Terry Rozier has played really well. He's really lifted his game. You know, I think he shot like 2 of 10 against the Knicks Friday night. It was close to
1 of 8. 1 of 8.
Yeah, 1 of 8. 2 of 10. Whatever. He was still good, and
he got to the line four times. It was 7 and 8 from the free throw line.
There you go. And he forced a lot of turnovers. He was just active, and that's what you need him to be. You don't need him to be this like perfect dead-eye scorer, although it'll be helpful if he makes shots. More importantly, he needs to defend, and that second unit needs to defend. And with Smart and Olynyk back, and with those guys playing minutes with the bench, it's looked a lot better. One thing, obviously, James Young was great against the Pacers. We need to talk about James Young because, I mean, he's gone 2+ years without playing really any significant minutes. You can count on one hand the times he did. I think against Golden State when they were in Boston, he played some pretty good minutes. Against Charlotte, his rookie season when he had like 13 points and convinced the Hornets announcer Del Curry to vote for him on an all-rookie team, I think.
Oh, wow.
Because of that one game. It was in front of Del Curry, and Del Curry was like, you know what? That James Young dude, he's all-rookie. He's all-rookie. But like 2 or 3 games his entire career until that Pacers game when he was a real impact player. And then all of a sudden, against the Pacers, he comes in, first half, he didn't even score. He had 2 points in the first half. Or 4 points, whatever it was, and he just did it with defense. He dove on the floor after a loose ball. He rotated down low to stop an entry pass to a big man. He sprinted out toward the end of the shot clock, tapped one out, tapped the ball, a pass away, sprinted after it behind half court, and it forced the Pacers to take a bad shot at the end of the shot clock. Like, James Young, man. James Young, step up to the plate. Hello. Nice of you to change your entire career or change from your entire career in one night and show more in 16 minutes than you had your entire career. That was just a great, great performance from James Young.
It's funny how much, trying helps people when they're trying to play basketball. It's just like, what was he thinking? Like, you think this is like a sudden revelation for him? He's like, oh, I should have been trying my hardest when I was playing basketball for the past 2 years. Like, it's,
well, I think part of it is, yeah, effort, but awareness is a huge deal. And
that's
when
true.
You don't know where you're supposed to be, you're hesitant, you're a step slow. So I think that's part of it too. And building up that awareness allows you to play harder and play more decisive, I would say. But yeah. Playing hard was nice.
Like, I would have seen him dive on the floor in his rookie year last year. It just doesn't seem like something he would have done. But it's great to see. It's just kind of the when the Celtics are desperate for wing depth, if he can come in and make some threes and make those effort plays and not be completely lost on defense, I think that's a positive for the Celtics. I know we're all going to react because it's Jimmy Buckets doing something good finally, and he was a first-round pick. But it's one game. I feel like we're going to have a bunch of these games with both James Young and Jaylen Brown this year where they kind of make an impact. But it's really about once you're able to do that, it becomes about consistency and be able to do it on a night-in, night-out basis. And for Young, we haven't seen that. And also the question is we don't know if he's going to get consistent minutes. Like in this game, it made sense because – Crowder and Horford were out, but once they come back, are James Young and Jaylen Brown really getting that many opportunities to kind of prove what they're made of?
Yeah, and okay, so yeah, I will say this though, that was the blueprint for James Young. Like, if you are going to make an impact on the Celtics, that is how you're going to do it. Get in there, get dirty. Hit the open shots when you get it. Cut for a dunk when it's available. But do it with the little things. Do it with the hustle plays. And I until last night, I didn't know that James Young had it in him, even for one night, to give the Celtics that type of lift. But I can confidently say they would not have won that game without James Young. Like, he came in the second quarter. They were desperate for some inspiration. They had played lifeless basketball, and all of a sudden James Young comes off the bench and just, bam, everything started working better because he set the tone. He and Terry Rozier, I thought, both came off the bench and really did a nice job of changing things for the Celtics. So that's the blueprint for him. My one issue is this. You know, Jaylen Brown is a rookie. Jaylen Brown needs to grow. Jaylen Brown is going to be with the Celtics for years, or he's going to be traded in a big trade. James Young, they've already shown they're not committed to him. This is his last year. They did not pick up his fourth year on his rookie contract. He will be an unrestricted free agent after this season. Like, I get that if Jaylen Brown's not playing well, give his minutes to James Young, but give the rookie more of a chance. To me, like, James Young, once in a while, sure, like, he'll play well. He'll be okay. But you can't just give Jaylen Brown the hook. I think he needs consistent minutes. I think, like, it can't be something where if he's not playing well, you go away from him. Because, to me, his development is more important than, you know, saving an early season win in November. Like, to me, that's a hugely important thing. And I know Brad Stevens goes the other way, and I know he says you need to earn your minutes, and I know all the things that he'll say to that. But, like, he's 20. He is the future. He has a ton of potential. Just stick with him. You can't just be throwing in James Young, giving him all of Jaylen Brown's minutes at the first sign of life from James Young.
Well, at what point – I understand you want to develop this kid, and yeah, it's an early season game, and it might not matter. But at what point, if Jaylen Brown is like being in the game, is consistently making your team worse, or consistently putting your team in a hole, do you keep him out there? I think it's right that you have to try him at least every game. But if he just doesn't have it, at some point, if you're Brad Stevens, one, you can't just kind of reward bad basketball by giving him more minutes and have to take it. Like, you're still trying to win the game. Like, that is the ultimate, the most important goal for Brad Stevens in each night.
Let me clarify. I had no issue with it against Indiana. Jaylen Brown wasn't giving them much. James Young came off the bench. James Young gave them a huge lift. James Young, if Stevens hadn't returned to James Young in the second half, That would have been wrong. It would have been absolutely criminal. James Young, he lifted them up in the first half. They needed him in the first half. And so to go back to him in the second half, yes, you have to do that. So it wasn't an issue against Indiana. My issue is if this continues happening during the rest of the season. Like, James Young, still not a very good NBA player. Jaylen Brown, I don't think he's a very good NBA player either yet, but One day he is going to be at least good, maybe a lot better than that. Who knows? And you, to me, you have to stick with him. Like, it can't be like now who does James Young, is he now leapfrogged Jaylen Brown in the rotation? What about when Jay Crowder comes back? Are you going to stick with a 9-man rotation? Are Jaylen Brown and James Young both going to be out of it because Rozier, Jarebko, Olynyk, and Smart will now be on the bench? So there's some questions here. I think Jaylen Brown, it wasn't about necessarily Indiana, but just for the season, I think he will really benefit from consistent minutes and getting 15 minutes a night. 15 minutes a night.
I think he's still going to be the kind of the first backup small forward option in the game. But once he's in the game, he has to play kind of like James Young did in this Pacers game. He has to earn it. It seems like the type of thing where they're going to give Jaylen Brown the benefit of the doubt, and he's going to be kind of that first bench option. But you know what? If he doesn't have it tonight, Brad Stevens is going to be quick to kind of go to another guy who might be more desperate to prove that he's like willing to play. I think you're right that Jaylen Brown should, like, by no means is James Young should leapfrog Jaylen Brown in the rotation. I just think it kind of puts a little more competition on the position and makes it so Jaylen Brown doesn't just get those kind of quota minutes. It's just like he has to earn everything he does because there is this guy who's capable behind him.
Yeah. And now one question that a lot of people on Twitter have brought up. Do you think there's something wrong with Amir Johnson right now? Does he seem to be moving worse than he did last year?
I don't know. Amir Johnson's a mystery because so many times last year he would play less than 20 minutes a game and always kind of look like he's wasn't moving that great. I feel like he's just kind of a hobbled kind of guy who kind of plays through injuries the entire, like, at least his entire time with the Celtics. He'll sometimes have those one, like, super game, but then it will take, like, 2 weeks for him to kind of get back to full strength. I would agree that he doesn't look great right now, but I think it's also just the fact that we're forced to see kind of more of Amir Johnson, where he's now playing 30 minutes a game, where normally you'd only see him for, like, 18 minutes.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it's been so clear every game. The Celtics just don't have any strong big men and strong, aggressive defender. It's like Amir Johnson, he's a very smart defender. He's a very capable defender. He's an impactful defender. He's not the type of guy who is going to get a guy on his back and box him out like 3 feet back. Like he's a finesse guy. When Brad Stevens said we're a finesse team, you know, a lot of that is the big guys. Amir Johnson can get overpowered. Tyler Zeller can get overpowered. Kelly Olynyk, I know you love his positional defense, and he's a much, much better defender than people give him credit for, but he's not the strongest big guy either. I think if you look at the roster, that is one of their issues. Like, they are going to need to get away with having some kind of weak big men, and not just weak in the fact that they're not physically strong, but they're not physical players either. So that's one issue that's popped up a lot. Well, the rebounding has been an issue every game. Like they offensive rebounded really well against Indiana, which really has a broken defense. But the defense rebounding wasn't there. The free throw rebound. How do you give up rebounds on free throws? It's like a couple times a night they're giving up rebounds on free throws. Jesus, Stevens must be losing his mind when that happens. There was one play against the Knicks when Amir Johnson, like he thought he went into the lane and maybe thought that he had a violation, and then like he just walked away from the lane. He was like 3 feet away from the lane while his guy, who he should have been boxing out, walked in, grabbed the rebound, and put it back up. Like, Amir, the play is going on, my friend. That was ugly. So there's still a lot of issues with the rebounding. But ever since Olynyk got back and ever since Olynyk and Smart were put into the starting lineup, the defense has just looked so much better and so improved. And still, we are 9 games into the season. The Celtics have not had Marcus Smart for a few games. They have not had Jay Crowder for several games. They have not had Al Horford for several games. They are number three in offense behind the Golden State Warriors and Cleveland Cavaliers. Well, is this real?
Yeah, that's shocking to hear. You know, the famous saying is that the Celtics have never lost a playoff series with their full with the big three, Rondo and Perk. This year's Celtics team hasn't played a full game with their like basically their full starting lineup in Marcus Smart. So it's like all the problems about rebounding and lack of size and lack of athleticism, or not athleticism, but kind of toughness on the inside, I think is going to hopefully change when they get their full complement of players back. Because I think the team, their toughness, their physicality really comes from their kind of guards and wings, Bradley, Smart, and Crowder. So I think that it's really good that they're this good offensively this into the season, missing those players. But I think kind of that physicality and that toughness will return once they have their full roster in place and able to not, you know, basically have Marcus Smart and Kelly Olynyk be full-time bench guys.
I mean, it is crazy. You look at the bench, you know, everyone thought they're going to really miss Evan Turner's playmaking. The bench, when Isaiah Thomas is sitting, they are scoring 109.4 points per 100 possessions, which is just about the same as when he's on the court. And like that was the issue the past couple of years, that they could not put the ball in when Isaiah Thomas was on the bench. And now all of a sudden it's like, whoa, Celtics, they're scoring. They are scoring when Isaiah Thomas is in there. They are scoring when he's on the bench. This it's beautiful to see. The Celtics can score, man. So and then, yeah, once Horford gets back, once Crowder gets back, those defensive issues are going to at least dissipate a little bit. They're going to diminish.
They're no longer going to be one of the five worst teams in the league on defense.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then once they start forcing turnovers and start getting easy baskets, how good is this offense? I think it's real. Like we're more than 10% into the season. Nine games, they've had injury issues the whole time, and they're still up there. Like it's getting to the point where I don't think it's a fluke anymore. I think they have a really good offense now.
Yeah, there's definitely reasons to be optimistic for this team moving forward, and I think with this week coming up, you have a couple of easy games, so I think it's just more building on a good thing, like going against the Pelicans, going against the Mavericks. Golden State's going to be a really fun test, and hopefully Horford's fully healthy by then. Is there any indication that Crowder would be back by maybe that Golden State game?
Steven said that he could be back sometime this week.
Oh.
Which is best case scenario. So yeah, obviously that game's Friday, so there's a chance. I mean, it would be tough to come back and be like, here, Jay.
You, guard Durant.
Yeah, you've missed a couple of weeks. Go guard Kevin Durant. And in switches, like, take Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson. Have fun. So, yeah, there's a chance. I hope he's back. That'll be a fun game. Two teams still searching for their defensive identities, the Warriors and the Celtics. But yeah, other than that Warriors game, not too many tough games coming up this week, you know? So could be a chance to run off a few wins here with New Orleans and Dallas coming up, with the defense coming back, with Al Horford maybe coming back in New Orleans. That would be nice. Al Horford, he's such a difference maker. They have really missed him so much, but you know, they're getting by 5-4. Not too bad so far. Let's talk about the Nets, man.
I was about to ask you, are the Nets good? Like, we have some optimism, I mean, but there's definitely some pessimism.
Good is too much. Like,
are the Nets not complete trash? Are they going to be better than the Phoenix Suns? It certainly seems like it. The 76ers, perhaps. The Pelicans? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, the Nets are not an absolute dumpster fire, which is not good for the Celtics.
Sad news. Like, tough to hear.
Coming into the season, I would have bet anything that the Nets were going to be an absolute pile of garbage. They were going to be one of the biggest mockeries in NBA history. They were going to get demolished night in and night out. and they've been pretty good. Like they're okay. They are not absolutely terrible at basketball. So, damn it.
Yeah.
Danny Ainge, like, he must look at the Nets and be like, what the fuck, man? Like, they got Justin Hamilton out there making moves, and they got Sean Kilpatrick starting at point guard, and they're winning games. What the fuck?
I haven't watched, I'm going to be honest, I haven't watched too many Nets basketball games, but is it all Kenny Atkinson? Is it just, is this the coaching thing? Because their roster is not something that should be winning games. Brooke Lopez, he is talented, but really, this is unexpected. So my intuition would be it's coaching.
Yeah. Brooke Lopez had a quote after their last game. He was like, you know what? We're just better than the sum of our parts. This is just the beginning. just the beginning. Brooke, what the hell is going on over there in Brooklyn? Take it easy, guys. Like just relax. Celtics could use like Brooke Lopez injury, and I don't even know who do you want to get injured over there. Like, not that we're rooting for injuries. We don't actually root for injuries. But if they did happen, like Jeremy Lin's already been out for a while. Like, do you want Rondae Hollis-Jefferson to go down? I don't know.
I don't know how you make the – maybe you just, like, make Kenny Atkinson, like, break his back Steve Kerr style.
Have him take, so they need
a new coach.
They need to find their Luke Walton. Yeah, like, the Nets are decent.
Brooke Lopez scored 34 points against the Pistons the other week. Like, I'm just looking back at the Nets schedule and looked at who they beat. They beat the Pacers, who have a trash defense. As we saw, and as I predicted, by the way, another pat on the back for Sam Packard. Then they beat the Pistons, and they beat the Timberwolves, and then the Suns. So three of those wins are kind of shocking that they were able to pull off against the Pacers, Pistons, and Timberwolves. The Suns are really a terrible team, but, man, 34 points against the Pistons is not a stat line I thought I'd see Brooke Lopez put up.
4 threes that game, Sam.
Oh, that was the famous Brooke Lopez, Amir Johnson rain part.
That was the night when everything went wild. The whole world just completely transformed that night. Amir Johnson step back threes from the corner. That was my favorite stretch of basketball this year. Like, every once in a while, basketball just really surprises you. And that was it. When Amir Johnson had 16 points in a quarter, and the last bucket he had, we're rehashing stuff that happened weeks ago, but the last bucket he had when he drove baseline, and he was like fading away, spinning, threw in a fading hook shot. What on earth is going on? Amir Johnson that night was unbelievable. Another quote that had me dying laughing, besides the Brooke Lopez sum of our parts quote, which I mean, honestly, Celtics fans might be weeping about what's going on with the Nets. But my favorite quote, I think, of the year is when Doc Rivers last night said that Luke Richard Mbah Mute is the best defensive player on the planet right now. Let's tone it down a little bit right now. Let's not get too crazy. Like, Kawhi Leonard's still out there, Draymond Green's still out there, Luke Mbah Mute, very serviceable guy.
I believe him because as someone who's put together a lot of NBA 2K franchises, let me tell you, Mbah Mute is always on the free agent market. You can get him on a cheap deal, and he's a great free agent signing, at least in the NBA 2K world. So I'm going to go ahead and believe Doc Rivers on this one, that he's the best defender in all of the NBA.
Anyway, the best podcast in all of the NBA is the Locked On Celtics podcast. Search for us, Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever else you listen to your podcast. Search for Locked On Celtics. Find us, follow us, subscribe to us. Rate us. Give us a 5-star rating. We need those 5-star ratings. Those make us go, man. So give us those ratings. listen to us. We'll be here Monday through Friday. We'll be giving you the best Celtics analysis. You don't have to listen to those radio schlubs anymore. You can come over, listen to us, fire us up on your morning commute, fire us up when you're at the gym, do whatever. We are here every day. We feel like we're becoming your friends now. We want to be part of your life.
We got inside jokes. I mean, we're calling each other by nicknames. It's good times, guys. Just come on down for the fun.
Yeah, come on down for the fun. This was another fun episode of the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.